Hey guys, welcome to the second season of Actors, You Are Enough. I am your host, Amy Linden. I'm also an actor just like you, with over 120 IMDb credits that consist of acting and directing. I am your mentor. I am your biggest cheerleader. I am your Russian skating coach of the acting world. I've coached over, I don't know, a million actors all over the globe over the last 29 years. Right now, I have 56 network series regulars, an Emmy winner, an Imogen winner. And if you listen to me, that might be you too. Or maybe you just want to work. Join me every week for industry gems, acting advice, and tips on how to be a more confident actor and human being. Whether you're just starting out actors or you have credits under your belt, this podcast will empower you because you are enough. Hey guys, I have with me my most favorite person, Greg Zanfardino. Greg is the only one in the world that is able to teach the Linden Technique. He's the only one that has certification to do that. There are other posers out there, and you know who you are, so stop teaching it. Mm-hmm. Greg's the only one that's supposed to do that. So this is going to be just a talk with me and my favorite person who teaches every day pretty much. But Greg has had a beautiful life producing, you know, he runs a management company. So Greg, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. You and I first encountered each other back when I was in Florida, in Miami, working for a small cable company way back in the day. And that company was like a niche kind of cable company just emerging. This was Showtime was a teeny tiny baby. HBO was like the only streamer out there. So we used to go out to try to find product to launch our network with. So we found a really huge project and we used it to launch the network and it caught a lot of attention. And then the American rights to that show was purchased by Showtime. And then that really helped build Showtime to be who they are today. So when that all happened, the company...
What was the name of the product?
It was Queer's Folk, which was, the original British Queer's Folk. We wanted to find something different and fresh and new. And this was back in the day. And there was nothing like
huge
that.
Huge hit. Yeah.
But caught a lot of attention. Then Showtime needed something to boost them up. So they approached us to buy all of the American, because we had the original British version of it. And there were two seasons of that. But they wanted to rework it for an American version to launch, to build up their network. So they did. They recast the whole thing, but they shot the exact scripts that we had done for the original British version and then took it on farther. And so that was that history. So when that happened, I went out and producing on my own. And that's how I met Amy, because she had the Odessa project and I had seen her short and I thought, wow, this is an amazing director. It's an amazing story. And when I found out that she wrote it, she produced it, she directed it, she shot it, she starred in it. I mean, it was amazing. So that's what drew me to Amy, and we started our business relationship back there.
And that was 27 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
And then so then we were working on developing that into something larger. And then I think the course of events was yes, I had an opportunity to work for Paramount Pictures and or Universal Studios. So I moved from Florida to California, and I'll never forget that because you were the first like person I knew here. And you took me all around the different parts of town so I can help decide where I want to live. And you said, this is this, and this is that, and this is, you just educated me. And so then And then that started our really grew our friendship, but then our business relationship grew even stronger. So just to kind of scoot along faster, I ended up going with Paramount Pictures, and I worked for them like 8-9 years in many different departments. And then through that process, though, I had an opportunity to help build out a management company. And it was somebody that I met on the Paramount studio lot who had a business that he used to manage agents and producers and managers, excuse me, agents and producers and showrunners. And so he had said, look, I'm interested in building out a theatrical division. Well, I didn't know much about it at the time. And so then I remember speaking to Amy going, you know, I really want to get into management and learn management because I want to learn management. And you introduced me to a fantastic manager.
Shannon
Hollerin, right. So she took me under her wing and she educated me and taught me everything that I knew. And so through the course of events, I had an opportunity to take, you know, to help grow this other management company. And Sharon gave me her blessings and off I went and worked with this other gentleman for building out his company. And then he was scooped up by a large financial company because to handle the finances, because he was great with contracts and working out deals for actors, you know, for the entertainment industry. And in order for him to do that, he needed to leave the company that he owned. And so he asked, would you like to buy it and take it over, which I did. So that's how I attained that company, you know, changed the name. And over the years, it's grown. And so I have the management company. But now just to tie it back to you, when I had the management company, you know, since I knew Amy all those years, I would send all of my clients to Amy for the class. And that was what, Mondays and Wednesdays you used to have it at the theater. And so I used to go every Monday and Wednesday to support my clients and also to scout new talent because they would come in the door knowing nothing.
They got some really great people from that.
After months, they'd become like amazing actors. And so I was there to just sign them right away. And I still have like one person from way back then that's still on my roster, and she's still the best for us. All right. So then I think over a period of time being sitting in there
because
the time.
You were sitting in for so long that you were probably the most qualified because you had sat in on so many classes that you understood the technique. And I think they had you.
A couple of times, you went away on a vacation or something. And I took over.
Yeah, and you would take over, yeah. And then it's moved into now Greg has his own classes and he's private coaching and yeah.
Yeah, and the way that kind of worked was that and then you would also have me speak to them about the management side of business, which was great because they had someone telling them the way it was, you know, for managers and agents. I mean, I fell in love with the technique. I saw how amazing it was for the actors and how, so I made a big decision and we had a talk back then about really kind of joining forces more and me working more in that aspect. So I brought my roster down from a really large roster to like 4 people. So I kept those 4 people that really didn't need a lot of work, but needed to have the connection to the industry for the jobs. Anyhow, and so that's when I started devoting all my time to working with you and coaching the people you sent to me. And
you brought on a manager So your roster went back up, didn't it?
Yeah. So that's what I did was, so the company had been around for a long time, had a great reputation. I knew inside my heart, I didn't want to let it go, but I didn't want to not coach and do the Linda technique anymore. Cause that's where a big part of my heart was. So I thought, let me try to find some people to work the company. And so I, you know, did a few people and found one amazing person, Jen Lewis, and she's been with me a couple of years now. She handles the front end of the business, you know, getting the clients, the auditions, getting it set up, all that stuff. And I have a small part at the back end, collecting, closing the deals, those types of things.
But yeah, but you're still scouting. You just signed 2 of my people from class. Oh, you're still scouting. You're finding good people everywhere.
Oh yeah. You got to act quick because when they're good. Everybody seems to know it and they want them. So
yeah.
So we just signed 2 more people. We're really excited. And I don't know if you know this, but we just signed Taylor, and she turned in her first theatrical audition yesterday for a feature.
Oh, that's fantastic. How did it look? Did it look great?
It was amazing. It was amazing.
She's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jen watching and she's, I mean, Santar, all this, we're very happy that we have her. She's amazing. You and the Linden Technique creates just amazing actors. It's just hands down. There's nothing like it in the world. So, and here we are today. So yeah. The majority of my day, life, and energy is working the Linden Technique, working with the clients that you send your way and building, you know, their careers. And then, of course, when I work with them, that you send them to me, and sometimes I sign them because they're really different.
Yeah, I mean, I talk to people all the time. They're like, well, I'm not ready for you yet. I'm like, a quarter of my series regulars have no other training than the Linden Technique. So everybody's ready for me. Everybody's ready for the technique. And if they're not ready to go in the masterclass, they go to Greg and Greg trains you. You know, I think the best part of the technique is what you said earlier. It turns out great actors. When people sit in on my class, I have had a lot of industry people sit in. They're blown away by the caliber of talent. And I think so much has to do with the way that they're breaking down their script and the way that they're telling the best story and finding their emotions and what's actually important when you get a scene, you know?
Yeah. We work great together because we do say the same thing. We say it in different ways. We have our own way of going about it. You know, my class is a little bit more time to spend with people, but like, just for example, I understand that Nick hit it out of the park again in class, and because he was getting so far, and then I worked with him a little bit to kind of reinforce some things that you've been telling him, but just in a different way, and now it's clicking, and now he's back in your class, and he's kicking butt.
Yeah, it's really quite amazing. But let's talk about the technique. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So for me, what I have found is that, yes, there's many ways to come at a script. You don't need to do the 15 guidelines in a row. You can do it in any order, and everybody has their own order that's best for them. But it's mostly to make sure that you do all 15. And don't you notice when somebody doesn't do one of the guidelines, you could pick it out like just immediately.
Immediately, right off the bat.
I know, it's crazy.
And then when you fix that one, everything else starts.
Everything else fixed. It's like a back adjustment. It's like, bam, and it all falls into place. Like somebody left out this parenthetical. I said, did you even look up what that meant? They're like, no, I looked up the other one. I'm like, you got to look up all of them. You know, it's like to not look up what exasperated means.
If
a writer's going to spend time to write exasperated in a parenthetical, then you better know what exasperated means.
Yeah, I mean, those are golden nuggets they're giving you. Why would you walk right past them? Put it in your, you know, your basket and take them to the bank.
I totally agree, because your competition, they don't know what exasperated means because they didn't look it up either. Like that guy fell into, I would say, the 95%.
Yeah, and you know, because periodically I'll sit down on the masterclass or go into the Actors Club, and what am I always saying all the time when I'm giving my feedback is you have to do all of the guidelines every time, whether it's one page scene or a 5,000 page scene, you have to, because they self-correct themselves, they make sure that everything is there. And it's funny, I always use the example of if you go on a plane, you're going to fly across the ocean. Right. And then you're flying and all of a sudden the captain comes on and says, you know, we got a little lazy today. We didn't go through the checklist and the landing gear is not going to work. So you have 5 minutes to call your family because we're going to crash. No. So that's the same thing. You don't want your audition to crash. So you have to go through the checklist every single time. And otherwise, that's the time, you know, your plane's going to crash.
Eventually, after you've been doing the technique for a while, you can pick up a script and go, okay, I'm going to read it 10 times and now, okay, I'm going to start circling all the who am I relating to's, you know? So, I mean, I think that if you can get to a place where you're like, okay, what's important, it keeps you outside of the script for a long time. And so then you're not making choices.
Yeah.
And so you really look at the story, really look at the story.
And what I always tell people to do is, you know, then before you, you know, you send in your final tape or you're going to do your live audition or your Zoom audition is, you know, put it on tape, And that's when you watch it and you get your checklist. Did I do all those things? Because while you're in the moment, you don't want to be thinking, okay, now I have to do guideline number this and guideline number that. You want it all to organically come through you because you've worked, I did the homework. Then you can look at it later and go through the checklist as you're watching.
Yeah, like don't edit yourself while you're doing your self-tape or while you're at your audition. And a lot of actors do that. They're like, oh, I was supposed to say of instead of the, and then bam, they're out of the script. Yeah. Oh, some coach told me to do this. So I'm not doing it right now. Bam, you're out of the script. You know, what I love about the technique is that you can watch it at after you've done it and assess it in a logical way and go, you know what? That opening moment, that was weak. Am I really seeing the people that I'm talking to? Well, not really. So you could fine tune it and go through the guidelines, right?
Yeah, and I always suggest step away for a while. So you're not in that, you know, frame of thought. You step away, make a sandwich or take a walk, then watch it and you have a clear mind. You can be like, oh, wait a minute. And then you have an opportunity to fix it. Exactly.
Yeah, and so then you never need a coach.
Yeah, so you but
get this technique down, then you never need a coach. But it takes years to get the technique down fully. All we're there is to lead them back to story.
What do we do all the time? Bring it back to the story, bring it back to the guidelines, bring it back to the story, bring it back to the guidelines, bring it back to the story.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Like there's no direction. The direction is I'm directing you back to the story. I'm directing you back to action. It's like, did you read that? I talked to somebody in class last night. She sounded so loud. I'm like, aren't you in an interrogation room and aren't they just right in front of you?
Hello, guideline, right?
Christ, environment will dictate how your volume is and who am I relating to, where they're sitting in the space, you know? Yeah. Oh my God, they're right in front of you. So why are you so damn loud? I think that this technique also is the only one that talks about genre and tone and style. Would you agree?
That's from what I hear, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, which is huge. Now, as a manager, when we follow up, we hear, oh, you know, we loved Tanya or Tracy or whatever, but she just wasn't right for the show. And there you go. There, she just not right.
An easy fix.
Mm-hmm. And some people don't even realize the differences in the different types of comedies either. So they'll do one type of comedy in another way and it just doesn't work.
It's crazy because there's like 5, 6, 7 different kinds of comedies. I mean, look at The Bear. They're saying that that's a comedy, but I mean, I honestly think it's in its own little category.
Yeah, and you know what I noticed, though? People that go off and take other trainings come back and say that the Linda technique is great because it has everything all in one place, the meat and potatoes, where some of these other techniques and things maybe just focus for weeks and weeks and weeks. The whole thing is based on half of one of our guidelines.
Exactly. I actually had somebody say that to me last week. They're like, yeah, this is what this teacher said to me, but they're holding back. They're not giving me all the nuggets. And I said, well, because they don't have 29 years of nuggets.
They have one
guy. They have maybe 5 years of nuggets. They gave you everything. They're not holding back. They don't have anything else to give you.
That's what I love about this. And I say, look, Amy, through the years, did all the homework and the bad stuff and the good stuff for you. She's just handing you the goldmine. The technique is all the best of everything that you need. So why take 15, 30 different classes to end up with these 15 things? It's right here. So that's one of the greatest things about the Linda technique is you know, we're in the trenches to find all this out. And here it is.
Yeah, and I love when somebody comes back after they've cheated on me. They're like, oh, I realized I was booking jobs when I was studying with you. And I'm like, you dumbass. Then why did you leave? Like, why would you leave if you're booking jobs, you know? But the technique is not only, oh, I teach you how to book jobs. That's not it. You're booking jobs because you're telling a better story in a more specific way. And so all we do, right, Greg, is point them to the specifics. Like you missed that there.
And I remember last month in the 4 that I sat in on your master classes, I think a consistent missing guideline was like the story. And then I would say, okay, when Amy, you know, it wasn't all coming together. When Amy just kind of gave you what, you know, an overall of what the story is, guideline number 1, everything else fell into place.
And crazy. So, all the emotions were there. They're crying. They're, you know, it's crazy. And I think that a lot of people approach a script with an idea and a concept.
And oh, a lot of people.
A lot of people. Well, I'll play it like this. And how do you know that that's how it's written? And then, oh, but that one line isn't working with the idea that I came up with. Oh, well, you know what? I'll just say that one line because it's just one line. Well, that one line is probably the key line to the whole script. And if you sat on the one line that didn't make sense, it'll probably give you the whole story and unlock everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the key line is always the line you keep forgetting. It's the line that you don't understand. It's the line that you keep dropping. That's the reason for the whole reason why you're even in the script to begin with.
Yeah, that's when you verbalize what the whole thing was about. In that character's way, they verbalize that drop the mic moment for whatever the scene is about.
Yeah, and that's guideline 5.
Yeah. And let me just say this before, because this is really key. I mean, I always kind of likened it to like a detective, right? Some detectives can go in and they can think they solve the case and they usually don't. Then there's the Sherlock Holmes. We're going to need to call Holmes to get Holmes in here. So the Sherlock Holmes people are the Linda Technique people because they get the magnifying glass and they find things and they, you know, do everything forwards and backwards. And then they can say, no, the murder was done over here by a toothpick. And they're like, how did you know that, Holmes? Because he has this, you know, that eye that we want to give actors, build a magnifying glass to find everything.
I love that. That's a great metaphor and a great story around it because it's absolutely true.
And so that's why they're going to want to hire you, Sherlock Holmes, to solve their case, meaning to book the role that they need to book because of what you do. I mean, you're finding everything.
I just think that all of us suffer from reading comprehension. I just think that a lot of us just, as artists, didn't really read that much. You guys have to understand that I created I Am Enough because I felt that a big portion of why people weren't booking is because they didn't feel powerful. Like, you can be a great actor, but if you suffer from low self-esteem, you're never going to be able to share all of you.
Yeah, and the great thing is, yes, that's like a mantra or something to wear, but the guidelines are also build your self-esteem because you begin to see when you're in class that, oh, I'm actually making right decisions. I'm doing stronger performances. So when you go into your audition, in the audition room, or you're putting your tape, that confidence comes through you. And so it's like you just totally let go and you're not so worried about, is this, you know, am I doing this, not doing that?
Yeah, but I believe that the final frontier is you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just booking co-stars, because what you're talking about is just booking, you know. I'm talking about having a huge career. And like, if I look at like all the people that are like Nadine Velasquez, Jose Chanchez, if I look at Corey Stahl, all like Adam Brody, all the people that trained with me, they're all filled with self. Now, I think it needs to be selfness, and not selfishness, being filled with self, because when somebody goes to the movies, they're going to want to see you. Mm-hmm. And they have to put their isms on it. When all is said and done.
And just, I also want to expand how the guidelines are not only just for booking the role. Yes, they're designed to help you book a role because, as we say, booking a role is a different monster than, you know, when you get the role. However, it translates over into that as well. I mean, we have clients that they book something, or they're coming back for a couple more episodes because they're a reoccurring co-star, so it's regular. They'll come back and say, oh, I'm on set this day. These are my scenes. We go over them. We Linda Technique them. And then when they're on set, I forgot who was the last one had said to me, the director came to me and says, I love working with you. You always come prepared. I can shoot your scenes and get it done. And I'm like, that's because we did, you know, we Linda Technique.
Yeah, I love that. I think the guideline is, what am I doing? I think when you get the what am I doing, which is the map to the Linda Technique map to booking, when you get that guideline down, that truly is the foundation. So the story, and then the what am I doing, which is the really going frame by frame and knowing what you're doing in every moment, that really does give you confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the what am I doing came from all those people that would leave an audition and go to their car and say, what the hell was I doing? That's where that came from, is because they didn't know. right? And so I do think that if you answer all of them, you do have the confidence level. But I do think that actors inherently are broken, which is why we became actors to begin with. But if you can know what you're doing and start getting great feedback, like some girl wrote me the other day, it's the first time that a casting director called her agent. That's what you're going to start getting.
Yes.
And you're going to start getting people moving in and saying, why haven't I met you? Or you're going to start getting callbacks. You're going to start getting so much on you, because they're going to wonder what the hell you're doing. And all you're doing is telling the story where everybody else is doing idea and concept.
Yeah, I hear stories from people, they'll call after they send it in and they'll say, this is the first time.
Oh, yeah. I heard that a million times.
I mean, to say good job, you know, or that they got a call from casting. It's like, well, that's just the way it goes. You do good work, that's what happens. Yeah.
Yes, that I hear that a lot too. I you know, my manager actually wrote to me and said, wow. So does that mean they hated everything else, or maybe they didn't send it? You'll never know.
That's true. Yeah, and that's yeah, exactly. So yeah, we've been at this. I've been working with you for a long time in London Tink. There's nothing else I want to do. It just changes so many actors' lives. It opens up their careers, and there's nothing better than that. I mean, well, for me, I really enjoy it. And then, of course, having connection to the management end of it, which takes it one step farther. I mean, it's just great to see actors' lives change and just their whole beingness change and their dreams coming true. You know, and it all starts. Well, for me, it starts with them.
You know, I that's what I was doing. I was managing and teaching. That's back in the day. And most of the reason why I started teaching was because, and actually I started managing because this agent was upset I was fixing people's resumes. Did I ever tell you this story?
God, a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so she says, you're not going to study with Amy anymore, and I'm not going to send you to Amy anymore, and I'll drop you if you study with her, if she touches your resumes. But the agent never fixed their resumes. They looked like crap. It was horrible. And I had such a great manager that taught me everything, you know, before she died. And she taught me how to put together postcards and everything. And then I said, you know what, lady? I'm going to be a manager. I'm going to take your clients. And that's exactly what he did. They all came over to me.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. And then she went out of business a couple of years later. I'm sure it had nothing to do with me. I think it was just karma, because she was so mean to me. I had actually had to send a lawyer to do a cease and desist on her.
Wow.
Well, she was sending emails out. I mean, she was doing libel.
Mm.
What is it? Libelous things?
Yeah. So, but I decided to keep the management company because we had a good reputation. The few clients that I have are still working, but I needed someone to take the front end, because the Linen Technique is really where I want to spend 95% of my time. And the angels sent, just like the angels sent me you, the angels sent me Jen, who works is the day-to-day of the business. And
yeah.
I mean, she's an extension of me. Like, I want to be an extension of you. And I think I do a pretty good job of it in my own little way.
Yeah.
And so it's great because Jen's an extension of me. And so the management company is really handling itself. And so
what do you like about managing?
Seeing how the work that we do goes on to increase, it goes on. And so I'll watch TV and I'll see one of our clients or one of my management clients up there. And it's like, you know, I was a part of that whole process. It's just great to see.
Yeah, that's really cool to see that you're the one that got them the audition, and they did the technique and you coached them on it. And then there they are on TV and you're watching them. That's mm-hmm. a really cool process.
Mm-hmm. Or you get a call and they say, oh my God, like one guy, my God, my life is about to change. Thank you. They're going to ship me off to Australia. I'm now a series regular on this HBO show, you know, change my life forever. It's like, I mean, that's just, I don't know. It's just where I belong.
Yeah, but they have to remember when they get their award, you know, I mean, or magazine articles, guys. I mean, out of the 56 series regulars, only one person out of all of them actually mentioned my name in a magazine article. Can you believe that?
Mm. Well, coaches are the unsung heroes.
I think so. I think so. It's very upsetting. So if you're listening out there, you better say my name or Greg's name when you get your
award. They should have an Academy Award for best acting coach. That
I think so. Anyway, so let's talk about management for a little bit. Sure. I mean, I did it for 9 years. You're doing it now. So, I mean, back in the day, we were stuffing envelopes. You guys get to click now. Mm-hmm. It's a much faster process, isn't it?
Yeah, which is a good thing and a bad thing because it opens us up to more people. So the competition is more fierce. Whereas back in the day, a little less competition, but more work on the manager's end. But yeah, now it's click, 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 upload, send, click, upload, email. It's like insane. Yeah.
I know. We would take 3/4 of our day either faxing pictures. Remember faxes? Faxing pictures, stuffing envelopes so the courier could pick it up. Crazy.
Well, see, this is kind of where we're different because I like to consider us like old school kind of management because we actually develop the clients. We talk to the clients. We guide them. It's not just submitting them, you know, on stuff. So our process, yes, it's click, 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 but it's also follow up, calling, you know, pitching, building relationships with
clients. I'm just saying the submission process was completely different.
Yeah, you used to have to send carriers sometimes. Couriers, rather, to the casting office. It's like insane, yeah.
They had baskets at that time, so actors could actually get in front of casting directors. You could put your picture in the basket, and they would see it and possibly bring you in. Yeah, it was. I almost think it was an easier time.
Yeah. So now it's really reliant upon your performance.
Yes.
That and a few other surrounding things, but at core, it's the performance. And that's
getting your reel in on the earlier side. I think that people are like, yeah, but I have until this time. Yeah, but they might not get to it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you from a manager's standpoint, yes, sometimes they've already cast the role by the time you send it in because you waited too long. But then there's a balance. So as a coach, I say, get it right, don't rush. But don't go too quick. So there's that balance when it's just right. And the best thing to do is jump on it right away. You know, a lot of people wait, and then they realize there's more work involved, and then it takes them longer, then they run out of time, and that's a mess. And I understand we all have busy lives and everything, but it's just, you know, shifting, and it's priorities. And sometimes you have to say to the kids, mommy or daddy needs this half an hour to study. So, you know, watch whatever on TV or something. But yes, it's important not to wait too long because a lot of times, especially on the smaller roles, they've cast it. They've moved on.
They have moved on. And then when the strike ends, they're going to want to go a lot faster on things. Yes. It's going to be an overwhelming amount of stuff. So people have to be ready. I've been saying that to people in class. I've been saying, you guys, nobody's going to touch you once you get out there because you didn't go on vacation during the strike.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
And it's funny. They're booking independent films now because they're nice and hot and warmed up, you know?
Yeah, and so just 2 days ago, I coached a client, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and she had said, well, you know, because of the strike and everything, I, you know, haven't really been practicing or anything. She said, I'm a little rusty. She was horrible. We needed to oil and grease everything. You don't want to be that way when the strike is over. You want to have things moving. So already prepped and ready to go instead of now starting from that moment, and you're going to have some rusty auditions. So that's why people that are in class now, I mean, it's just great because when the time comes, your engine's revved and you're ready to go to jump out the gate. You don't have a ramp up time.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't stress enough that it's really important that you don't send in anything that you're not proud of. Don't put Drek out there, guys. And even that goes for your online packages too. If there's a clip or anything that you have that you're not proud of, take it down. Just take mm-hmm. it down. If there's a photo that you hate, but your reps love, take it down. The energy of your package has to match the energy of you feeling strong and powerful and absolutely loving everything that you put out there into the universe. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to like what's out there. Otherwise, the energy attached to it's not going to be of a positive nature. And people sense that. when it's out there. And if you, for some reason, don't like it, there's a reason. And so other people will encounter that same reason as well. So you got to go with your gut feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, what if somebody looks at a tape of yours that you did, what I usually say BA before Amy, and that you were just not amazing? Like, why would that still be on your profile? Because they're going to possibly, let's say your manager or agent's going to send that clip with something, and they're going to watch that, and that's their impression of you. Not the you that is a stronger actor or a more brilliant self-taper or a much better storyteller. You know, that's not what they're going to see. They're going to make an assessment of you and then say, you know what, they're too green, or they're too this, or they're too that.
You know what else is great, though, about the way you're handling doing the master classes now is you have the people stand up and perform it like it's being a self-tape.
Yeah.
So get used to how, you know, the space, using the space and how, you know, never do this and you shouldn't do that. And, you know, this is how you handle driving a car, all that stuff. So they're learning how to do that stuff in class so they don't make the mistakes when they send a taping, because a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And so to take the experience of you and I, all the years that we've learned these things, you know, you can find out that about them in the masterclass, because you actually have them do it as it is an audition.
Yeah, it's also learning how to use space, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Some girl came in and used what was supposed to be a folder, but she used a big, bulky white notebook.
I've seen that a lot. They bring in these books and it's like,
yeah, it's like it takes up a quarter of the frame. And like, all I'm focusing on is that if you're going to decide to use any kind of prop, then you better shoot it before you shoot your self-tape. All the action that you're going to do with the supposed props that you're going to use, and see if you're distracted by it. That could like kick you out of the running.
Yeah, you should definitely choreograph it. What I call like a self zoom before you tape it.
Yes.
Follow up zoom. So now you have a frame and you can say, okay, how am I going to handle this? Well, if I do this, or if I do this, you know, I'm going to do it this way so I don't block my. So you can practice it and see it, so that when you actually incorporate it in the scene, when you're not looking at yourself, you know exactly how you're going to do your movements.
Yeah, and that goes under the guideline, what am I doing? And the whole choreography of it, it's like I said to somebody, did you practice sitting down? They said, yeah. I said, well, why would you practice sitting down if your scene is standing up? Like, you can't stand up for the first time to go do a self-tape. You can't figure out where everybody is in the frame on the moment that you're self-taping. The only thing you should be thinking about is your feelings.
What I always suggest is to incorporate the actions and those things from the very beginning, so it becomes part of the body memory. So it's not something in your brain memory as you're performing it. It's all incorporated and glued in with the lines and the emotions. So yes, it just happens naturally. You don't have to think about what you're doing. Your body automatically does it. So even if you zone out during a live audition, your body has it all.
Yeah.
What did I do? And you actually find out, oh, I booked the role. It's like, I don't remember doing any of that stuff. Yeah. So incorporate it from the very beginning, glue it in with the emotions, the lines, the choreography.
Yeah. Get up, move it around, have it deal with your space, deal with your emotion, deal with the physicality, mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, there's also so many like physical scenes. I give a lot of physical scenes in class, you know?
So do I do to see if they like to teach and so they can understand what to do, what not to do, and how to do what I do. And if I can't do it, how to incorporate it into my dialogue. So yeah. I'll throw like heavy action scenes where they'll say, I just don't know what to, I'll get calls. Like, can you coach me on this? I have all this stuff. I don't know what to do. Okay, fine. They send me the script and I just go, no, yes, yes. Yes. They come in and they go, that's all I have to do. Yeah, that's all you have to do.
That's all that matters. Let me explain the guideline on action. If it distracts you, don't do it. If it distracts me, don't do it. If it helps lift the scene to tell a better story, do it. That's it. But if you're drinking bourbon and you show me an Evian bottle, I'm going to go over there and punch you. What is wrong with you?
That's funny. You had a lot of.
How are you going to sell that? How is that going to? I mean, you guys, you're selling something to me. Sell it to me. I'm the buyer. Sell it to me. If you're not going to sell it to me, then I'm not going to buy you and you're not going to get the job. Yeah. Like, be careful how you're selling things.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do that to give a lot of action. Season of action.
Yeah, and that's why the whole thing with the moving around in space in the class, it is like a master on camera self-tape class almost.
Yeah, because like when a newer actor, let's say, to it will do something, you say, no, don't do that. So you just learn something in 5 seconds what not to do that may take you a while of not getting getting parts because you're doing this over and over again. Amy and I will tell you right off the bat, you don't do that. This is how you handle that. In 5 seconds, you get a lot that would take you a lot of time to learn through trial and error.
Yeah, I mean, I had a guy come in and I'm like, this is a walk talk scene. So come in from the side, already talking, you know, if you walk talk and then you're landing. So then he lands at a body, a dead body. He didn't even talk about the dead body. It's like it says the guy pulls the tarp off of the body and then talks about the body.
I said, you have to see the body.
You have to see the body. I'm like, this is a three-person scene, even though one of them is dead.
Yeah, so that's what's great about the masterclass. You get instantaneous feedback. And so you learn so much by the mistakes or things that you do, but also by watching the other people, because you get a whole plethora of different types of scenes and people making different mistakes or doing things that you do. And then you learn so much just by watching. Even.
Yeah, and I'm like, if you're making this mistake and you're in the master class, can you imagine your competition? And even to look at, and this is for you guys out there too, to look at how you were 3 months ago or 5 months ago to how you are now and see your growth. I think it's really important to chart your growth because I know that as an actor too, I used to always ask my manager, so did they call? And she'd be like, Amy, you just had the audition 2 days ago. It felt like 10 days ago. It felt like a month ago. And so you always you want everything now, you know? It's crazy. Just crazy.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part of this business is that, well, it also happens in audition, job interviews in the regular and the non-entertainment world. You know, you go for a job interview, you think you did great, you think you did bad, whatever. You never hear anything. They never, until maybe you find out that the role was filled. Sometimes they'll tell you we filled it with something, but you never get any feedback. And that's a lot in this industry too, right? You pour your heart into something.
I think the feedback you needs to be yourself looking at how much you've grown. If you don't have a charting progress report for yourself, how are you going to feel like you're not spinning? Because all of us want something now. But what about the process? Why can't everybody just enjoy the process?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is we end up focusing on the fact that I haven't heard anything, I haven't booked anything, maybe I'm not good for this, maybe I shouldn't do this business. When you don't know what's happening on the other end, you turned in good work, you're too short, you're too tall, for whatever reasons, you never get any feedback. So the only feedback that you can get, of course, is in the class, and or when you learn what is with yourself. So when you chart your progress, you say, wow, I really sucked back then. And look how good I'm doing now. That's really all you have. But you know what? That's really all you need.
I think so, too.
The rest of it's nice. It's great to have all that happen. People say, oh, that was a good job.
It really helps your self-esteem, you know? Like, I remember when I started back at yoga 5 months ago. Now, I need, like, the next level now. I am really stretched out. I am really flexible now. Stuff that I couldn't do 4 months ago. Well, it's the same. And then as I'm going into it, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, but you focused on the pain that you have from what you're trying to accomplish and forgot about those things that you weren't able to do before that you could do now with ease. You would think, oh, I suck at yoga, when actually, wow, I really come a long way because now I can do the 59 position and the 27 position whereas before.
Yeah.
And so now you're learning more, yeah. So.
Yeah, and it helps you to keep going because if you keep getting the rejection or no comment, you know, how do you keep going?
What do you gauge it on? And then what happens, I hear, is, you know, I have a friend who booked a role and it's like, well, you don't know what's going
on. No, there. Yeah.
I hate that.
You don't know the story of their journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the hardest thing to do is to look at other people, you know. I do that sometimes. I'll look at other people's Instagrams and feel like, oh, gosh. They just feel like they're so much further along than me. Well, you don't know their story. Maybe that's all they've been doing for 3 years. Like, you don't know that.
I mean, the best you can do is study with real stuff. And, you know, Linden techniques, I can definitely vouch for that. Is study, keep the juices going, turn in really good work every single time. If you do that, I mean, I've had many stories from the management level and in the coaching level where people have done an audition. They did a really good job. They didn't get it. They'll see the show or the movie and they'll see the person who got it. And either they'll agree or disagree that they did better or whatever. But then they'll get a call or book a role later on that they found out was because of the audition that they did previously. Yeah. So all you should do is just focus on your growth, focus on where you are, how far you've come, and that you're going to give every audition the best that you can. And then that's really all you can do. And it all just kind of comes back to you.
And chart your passion level too, you know? I mean, look at me. I have almost 120 some odd IMDb credits. And that's not even counting like 40 other movies that they didn't even post, okay? I do it because I love it. I don't do it, sit there and count the money or think about anything like that. If I'm still out there doing it because I love it, then why aren't you guys? Why do you keep looking at the result? Stay in the process and go be an actor. Go enjoy being an actor, but be the best. Be the most brilliant actor in the world. And I believe that that's what the technique does. I believe the technique turns out brilliant actors. I truly do. Because the brilliance is in the specifics. So if you and I are continually teaching how to find the specifics, like Sherlock Holmes, like you were saying before, then why wouldn't you be brilliant? It's just almost impossible.
You're right. No, you're right, because there's that level a little lower than booking is where, you know, you did a great job, they considered you, but somebody else took the role. And that's where we come in, because we give you the tools to beat out those other suckers.
Yeah, you need to be at no question. You can't even just be amazingly brilliant. You have to be at no question, meaning there's no question.
And you know what I noticed, like with Henry, you know, Henry is. He booked this really huge role because there was one guideline that he really hit really strong in the audition. Okay. It was in the transition. Right. So what happened, we did, I said, you know, listen, dude, this is like key, because in the beginning of this transition is your key line. So there has to be this whole, don't do like other actors are going to do. They're just going to just like go right into it and walk right over it. So we really worked on that moment, put all the different guidelines in there. So then when he got the role, his agent had called and said, he got the role because there was this one moment in his audition.
That's right. It was that moment. Good job.
He did study. He has is one of your regular was, you know, has studied with you and was coming in for the coaching. But, you know, he did everything. But that one at that particular moment in time, he didn't grasp as much as he could have. And so we put it in there, and that's what booked the role for him. So what I always say in class is the 15 guidelines are all important. But depending on the scene, some of them raise in their importance than others.
Yeah, depending on the scene. I agree. Right.
Because there's some scene.
You could language it too. You could say this is definitely a relationship scene, or this is definitely a point of view scene. This is definitely a character scene. You know, but let's talk about transitions for a second, because I believe that if your transitions are not strong, we're not going to see character.
Oh, if your transitions are strong, it's flavorless.
Yeah, it's nothing. The character is in the transitions. And so everybody should not be afraid to hit their transitions. I mean, just look in life on how dramatic all of us are. We're also freaking dramatic. Well, those are transitions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because there is one guideline about find your transitions. But what you come to understand and studying is that some of the other guidelines actually help you with the transitions, even though it's not specifically for a transition, but if you have this one in there, it really adds meat to that transitional moment.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that when you're doing the guidelines for a long time, they all actually, you start to see the pattern, but you have to almost be doing it a long time to go, oh, I see how that guideline is related. Like, why am I in the script is related to your key line, you know?
Yeah, but, and it's actually because
related to five, you know?
Sometimes the why am I in the script doesn't get as much love as it needs. Because there are some scenes where there's one scene I give in class on purpose. I don't want to say what it is because in case anybody watching this is taking a class, I want to give them a clue. There's a scene where it takes place somewhere blank that why you're in the scene is the most important guideline. So that if you don't really truly understand that and swing all the way through with it, all the other stuff that you do doesn't work. And so 99% of the time when they come into class, we'll do that scene.
I love how you have trap scenes. I have trap scenes.
Yeah, too. and they don't know. And I say, well, that was funny. I said, you want to watch it be funnier? Yeah, what do I do? It's very simple. Let's look at why are you in the script. And they say, well, I'm in the script. I said, why are you in the script? And then they look for, oh, okay. I don't want to give it away. But then when they finally say it, then they go, oh, so I'm supposed, yeah. So
yeah.
And when they do that, it's hysterical. It goes from being funny to hysterical. It goes from, I did a good job. He knows comedy to book that guy. And if it's not in this role, it's another one he knows comedy. Yeah, I have trap scenes. Everybody gets trap scenes. And I always tell people at the beginning of the class, I love you. I want you to grow. I'm looking for progression, not for perfection. And I'm going to do things to make you fail. So I'm going to trap you. We're going to figure out what it is. You're going to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, the practice is always going to be harder than the game. That is for damn sure. Do you know what I noticed? I noticed a lot of people write what the scene's about in their point of view. And I think that's an old dinosaur left over from the Stanislavski Strasberg days,
and that writing what the scene is about.
Guideline one is what is the scene about, right? And you can usually find it with what two people are talking about and the subject, and that's the scene about. But what they usually do is they write down their point of view of what they think the scene is about, but that's not what the other person is talking about. It has to be about one subject that both people are talking about. And then you link it into point of view. You have your point of view, they have their point of view, and then the editor cuts it together and creates the conflict. So it's just crazy. I think that they need to revamp all of the approach to all these acting, old antiquated acting terms to the Lyndon technique, to tell you the truth. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I truly feel that way because I think that they're not, they're teaching old terms like beats and intention when who the hell cares? I mean, when you're in a fight with somebody, do you care about, are you actually listening? No, you're listening from your point of view. So you're not actually listening. So why should you get into what you want? When you're,
yeah, that's
fight, what- you're not into what do I want? You're into how can I beat your ass?
And what do I want comes later with another, with other guidelines. We do address that. But in the very beginning, guideline number one, the whole basis of it is to look at it from a writer's standpoint, not from the actor. I'm going to play this role. No, it's why does the scene even exist? What is the purpose of the scene? Why is the scene even here? So I'm going to look at it from a macrocosm.
Yeah, and what is everybody talking about?
The big thing, not like this one and that one. It's like, in general, what is really happening here with these people in general? Yeah. And then, as the guidelines go in, you start to work, chop it down, and then start getting into the smaller. But guideline one has to be, you know, what the hell is the whole thing going on? What's all
exactly
that?
And what's the subject? What is
then
this?
We deal with your point of view later on, your point of view as that character. But it doesn't
like way later.
Right on.
I think once you've broken down the scene, which is why I think most people suffer at, is that they don't know how to break down a scene, and this will teach you how. It gives you a template, a map. So once you break down your scene, then you can go, then it basically plays itself. Mm-hmm. You just jump in, it plays itself once you relate to it. So there's the scene, there's the character, and then there's you. But stop thinking about the C, which is the result. Do the A plus B. Just do the A plus B. Stop worrying about the result. You will be absolutely perfect when you get it down.
And the funny thing is that people, they make it harder than it has to be. So in class, for the newer people, I let them squirm and roll over the floor. And I say, take a breath. What? You're overthinking it. It's very simple. Watch it. Oh my God, that's, yes, it's just all right there.
I know, and then their comment is like, oh my God, this is so simple. Yes, it's simple in the understanding. It's hard in the application.
Exactly.
Where does all the brain won't let it just be that. What you're reading is just what it is. Like, why does it have to be anything more? Like, everybody's bringing the kitchen sink in. I'm like, if you can show me somewhere in where that's written, I'll let you have it.
Yeah, and of course, what we do in the class is, yeah, we figure out what that is, but then we help them figure out how to find the hard part. Is where does it sit for me? How can I relate to that?
You know, I think that is the hardest part, and that's how why you need to know yourself a lot. Because if you can't relate it back to you, then it's going to be in your head, and there's no way you could play it. So most of your time needs to be spent finding that.
Yeah, and you do that. I'm gonna speak for your mics, myself. I mean, you do that a lot when I watch you doing the masterclass. Is it a lot more time is spent on that part of it than the surface part, because that's the easy part. Yeah, well, it can be easy if you don't overthink it. So take your attention off of that and put it into where it really counts. In, you know, how does it sit for me? How can I bring life to that guideline or to what's happening in the scene at that moment?
Yeah, that's what makes it unique, is because nobody shares your DNA. There's only one you. So you're going to spin it out how you're going to spin it out, but at least tell the right story.
Yeah, I mean, there's the two twins that were in class and they come for private coaching, identical twins to this day, unless they wear different t-shirts when they come into work. I don't know who's who. So I always say, you always wear the blue and you always wear the pink, so I know who's who. But they'll get the same audition and they'll come in for coaching and I'll coach them both the same way. But the tapes for the two girls always come out different. It's just their isness happens. And as a coach, my job is to, you know, get the technical stuff in there, have the connection, all that there. But they bring that. I step away from that. I don't try to, you know, cookie cut it. But it's interesting because there's a perfect example of look the same, sound the same, came from the same womb, the same moment.
Isn't that crazy? It's because in the final analysis, when people tune in to a TV show, they want to see a particular kind of person. Like I go, oh my God, that person's in that show. I'm going to watch that show because of that person. So if you don't know what you're bringing, then why would I spend money on you?
Yeah, there's two shows. I don't want to get into it, but there's two shows that are out, have the same name. One's an older version, one's a newer version. And I love the older version because I love the actors, because they're doing such a good job. I get totally sucked. The other one, it's too stylized and everybody's too
it's
directed
ruined.
And too,
yeah, it's ruined.
Yeah. But so I watch the other one and my roommate watches both of them and I don't even watch the other one because I'm not interested in those people, the actors. I'm not interested in the actors.
I agree.
They're not pulling me in.
Exactly. And they're not pulling you in because they're not invested.
And that's what happens with casting before it even gets to the producers to look at you. If you don't pull the casting director, they're not going to put their reputation on the line.
And I think a lot of people come at it like, well, how can I pull them in? You know how you pull them in, guys? I'm going to tell you how you pull them in. Tell the great fucking story and show up and scene. That's it. But you've got to break down a damn script.
And I've had people ask me, what can I do so they remember me? And I say the same thing. Just tell a great story. Do a great job. That's how they'll remember you in a positive way. They'll remember you in a bad way. Yeah, remember that guy that was doing? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the way to do it, is just stay focused on what you're doing. Do a great job. Tell the best story. And it'll happen for you at the right time.
I love this. I'm so happy.
Yeah. And listen, anybody that's part of the Linden Technique, it's a family. We all take care of each other. It's a safe environment. People expose they expose their weaknesses in class because it's a loving and learning place. That's why I always say when I get new, I say, welcome to the Linden Technique family, because we're all like that. And it's people start to relate to each other, become friends and support each other.
Yeah, I love how everybody chats with each other in the chat. You know, I love that.
The hard thing to do is to tape and get guidance from another actor who's not taking the Linden Technique when you do your tape.
Yeah. They tell me all the time when somebody asks them to read for them, they said it's the hardest thing. They don't even want to do it anymore because they miss everything. Like when they're reading for somebody that's never trained in the technique.
Oh, yeah, when they're reading. But also, when you have somebody reading for you and doing the tape, that actor who's not Linda technique trained will try to give you advice and guidance. No, just say, just tape me, just read.
Yeah. Make sure you do that, because you're already well beyond anything that they could tell you. That's for sure. So, Gregory,
yes, my dear.
People find you.
Well, you want me to give my phone number? And
well, how can they find you if they want to?
Oh, you can email me at greg@actingandbookingcoach.com. That's the best way to go. That's the best way to do it, because I'm seeing them all the time and I'll respond relatively quickly and get you set up, answer your questions. I'll do a call with you so you can ask more specific questions, and we'll work it out for you. So you can.
Yeah. You guys make sure that you say that, that you listen to this podcast, and you, that's how you got to know Greg. Mm-hmm. And for all of you guys, make sure you DM me, on Instagram, follow me on Instagram. I'll give you a promo code to the Udemy course that you could do at your house, or if you're interested in classes, just go to thelindentechnique.com and sign up for the intensive, because that's the qualifier. And if you're not ready for the master class, you're going to go to Greg.
And you have sent me some people who've been in the master class but just want to get pushed.
Yeah, you're doing both classes, actually.
Yeah, so they hear it in a different way, and it seems to, you know, work for some people too. Yeah,
because what Greg does is he breaks down the technique in a small class, like of two people, four people at the most, and so you're getting like private coaching, like full on private coaching, really.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with me, it's like, no, you're not ready. Okay. End of the line, go in the end of the line. I'll get back to you after I get through everybody, and then you get a chance to try it again. But I'm not there like that. It's a master class. It's too fast, you know? But if you're ready, I'd love to have you. But if you're not, Greg would love to have you.
And then I'll get you ready.
I'd love to have you, so.
Yeah, and then I'll get you ready, and you're going to Amy's masterclass. And I strongly suggest to join these ancillary 24/7 access to Amy's different programs that she has out there, because I'll have people that are taking class with me, but then they'll watch some of the auditions that you have in the
actorstoolbox.net, right. actorstoolbox.net.
And they'll say, I saw her do this and she was saying that. Can you explain that a little bit more in detail to me?
Yeah.
So I'll explain it to, yeah. So it all kind of ties in together.
Yeah, there's 130 teaching videos on there.
And it's 24/7.
You get a free week. You get a free week on that site, so you could watch some videos. And you guys, knowledge is power. Just keep watching stuff. Just keep watching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get the book on Amazon. Get the audiobook, which is the advanced version of the book, on Audible. And we're here for you. And if you have a need coaching, contact Greg. If you're not doing the technique, if you're in the masterclass and you're doing well, then I'll coach you. But if you're in the masterclass and you're inconsistent, I'm not going to coach you.
Yeah. And if you are not in any of the classes, but you do have an audition, you can still reach out to me, because my job during that period of time is not to so much teach you the guidelines, but to make sure they're all there.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a different focus. It's just making sure all the stuff is there, so when your tape is done, it's locked tight with all 15 guidelines. So so don't be afraid to come to coaching if you haven't in any class. It's just a different focus.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, it's so great to talk to you.
I'm so happy. I mean, when you came to class, I was like, we have to sit down and just, you know, shoot the shit about the guidelines a little bit. You know, you guys, we didn't cover all of them. We only covered maybe seven of them or six of them. But it was really fun to just talk about them with you.
Yeah, it was great when you said that. I thought, why haven't we done that before? Right? We should. everything at the right time. Well, great to see you. And any so last minute question before we go?
No, I just love you so much. And thank you so much for taking care of this technique the way that you do and being such an amazing teacher.
My pleasure, my dear. My honor. I get out of it as much as I give, I get double back from
the it is that, isn't it? It's so rewarding. It really is. I love you. I love you guys. Make sure you subscribe.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate it. So if you really believe you're enough, then you will click that button and you will go to the store and get involved. I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make him drink. I have promo codes available if you DM me and follow me on Instagram. Take care, and I will see you soon. Share with a friend.